Now, I'm putting it in my own words. I'm not quoting because my head is like a sieve. I can't remember anything these days. Forgive me. But I'll give you the essence of it. And then you check with the exact words of the Blessed Beauty. And I want to explain it. This is why I'm using this type of language. He envisages two souls in that tablet. One who has fasted all the 19 days. Because, you know, Nowruz comes at the end of the fasting period. So he's commenting about the fast. One who has fasted all the 19 days. But for some reason, it's not acceptable in his sight. His motive was not pure, whatever. Baha'u'llah says that in the sight of God, in the presence of the Almighty, such a person has not fasted. Although the poor man fasted and got up every morning and so on and so forth, he has not fasted. Not only that, he has committed every iniquity in the eyes of God. Then he envisages another soul who has not fasted, but he has that purity of motive, that goodly, radiant heart, that detachment, I don't know, that thing which has won him the good pleasure of his Lord. In the eyes of God, he says, that man has indeed fasted all the 19 days. And not only that, but he has performed every goodly deed from eternity to eternity. And then he goes on to say that every deed depends upon his acceptance. So it is not the form, it is not how active I appear to be, how much I run about, how many files I have at home, how many committees I am on, or assemblies I am on, or any of these things. None of these things count. You know, there is a little story of, you may have heard this, of a man who was in Arabia, and he was having his long obligatory prayer next to a path where the tourists normally would pass. So he chose that special spot to have his obligatory prayer there. And so as he was praying and the tourists were passing by, and they looked at this man in the heat of the sun and the desert and the sand, and performing this wonderful prayer, they said to themselves, "Oh, how wonderful! What great adoration, what great worship and devotion." Our worshipper heard this and he liked it. And so he stopped his prayer and he turned to the tourists and he said, "And you don't know, I'm also fasting." Now, if, God forbid, we serve the cause instead of for the sake of God, we serve the cause for the sake of man, we have wasted our lives. This life that has been given to us, we don't know its duration. No one knows. To some may be given 80 years or more, to others less, to still others very much less. As I am speaking to you tonight, I might drop dead right here, now. Doesn't Baha'u'llah say that death shall come to thee unheralded, unheralded, unannounced? Who knows? How can I afford, how can we ever afford to postpone this service to some other time? And then carry on with our lives exactly as we have been doing. And go, God forbid, to the next world. Not as we should go. Not as much as we would like to go. With our hands not quite so full. And perhaps rather empty. This is the point, I think, that if we as individual Baha'is come to realize who we are not believers only in the Baha'i faith. If you read the writings, you will see that he expects us to be lovers, not only believers. Indeed, he expects us to be intoxicated lovers. In the faith, there is always a minimum and a maximum. The minimum is just passable. Is this what we really want to do with our lives? The rock bottom minimum? When he stands there and he invites us to scale loftier heights, to reach the summits, to reach his good pleasure, that's what he wants us to be. He produces Abdul Baha. He tells us, follow him. That is the standard. His teachings are the standard. It is to the maximum that he is inviting us, not to the minimum. The minimum is, if someone would accept Baha'u'llah, let us say after having seen the smoke, and that's it. He's not required absolutely to contribute to the fund, for example. No one is going to come to his house to check if he has performed his obligatory prayers, or whether he has fasted, or whether he's studying the faith. No one is going to take him to task individually because he's not teaching. Okay. He lives his life, and then one day he dies. Now the Baha'is get together and have a prayer and bury him. Now, is this the sort of life we want to live? Baha'is, yes. Surely not. What he wants is something else. Why did he bring his cause? Why did he himself suffer? Why does he pride himself over the martyrs and heroes of Iran? Why does he have all those exhortations in his writings? You can go on naming them, but that is the purpose of our lives. We should plod on, confident that if we arise to serve his cause, he will assist us. He has told us over and over again, in the teaching work, for example. Someone wrote Shoghi Effendi about wanting to teach and wanting to pray about the teaching work. Pray, he says, that Baha'u'llah may send you receptive souls. Because he will send them. This is a promise. He will send them. But who will he send them to? If the door of my heart is closed and locked up, if the door of my home is closed and locked up, if I really have no time for Baha'u'llah in my life, do you think that Baha'u'llah will send his waiting souls to me in this condition as I am? Surely not. He will want to see who is ready to receive such a guest, because they are children of God who are seeking him. He will send them to those who are ready to receive them, who long to receive them, who supplicate and implore him that he send such souls to him. He will send them to such souls. So, this is the thing to do, to arise, to put our trust in him, because he will send us his waiting souls. And it will be very easy to attract such souls to the cause, to convert them, to help them to accept the station of Baha'u'llah. It'll be very easy. This is our duty, friends. Shoghi Effendi, speaking about the hosts of the kingdom, he says, let the doubter arise and ascertain for himself the truth of Baha'u'llah's promise. In other words, Shoghi Effendi even accepts the doubting Thomas. He doesn't tell him, get away from here. Why are you doubting? He says, come, my boy. Come, my girl. All right. As Abdul Baha says, it's not man's right to test God, for it is God's right and privilege to test man. But nevertheless, okay, you doubt. All I tell you is arise. And if you're not convinced, you will be convinced that the hosts of the kingdom will rush forth to aid you, to assist you, to confirm you, to inspire you in what you should do and what you should say when talking about your love for Baha'u'llah to that contact. We belong, friends, to a religion, God's religion for man today. We don't belong to a club. This is a living, pulsating religion. We should have trust. We should have confidence in the words of Baha'u'llah. And we should carry on with our work with full confidence that not only will he redeem this promise, but he will redeem all his promises. Yes, the opposition will come. And as it is coming from this society around us, that society will continue to disintegrate. While these processes are going on, you see the faith of God advancing. You see it gaining strength and going from strength to strength, expanding, consolidating its roots, thrusting out its branches, not only in one country or one continent, but believe me, everywhere. Until, as Shoghi Effendi says, through a mysterious operation of his will, suddenly, he says, suddenly, he uses the word suddenly, and possibly through or after the calamities which are ahead, the convulsions and commotions which are yet ahead, there will be, he says, a sudden in thousandfold increase in the numerical strength of the Baha'i community. This he wrote not in reply to a question. He wrote this because he was impelled by whatever divine forces impelled him to write. Over his own signature, for Baha'is and non-Baha'is to read. And with confidence, he says, there will be the sudden, at its appointed time, the sudden thousandfold increase in the numerical strength of the Baha'i community. And he goes on to say in that same letter that there will also be a corresponding increase in the material power and the spiritual authority of the faith of Baha'u'llah. Why did he have to write these things if he was not sure, if he did not see, almost with his visible, his physical eye, what was ahead? He wrote these so that we wavering human mortals will be assured that the victory is guaranteed by him, that all we have to do is to arise. We can delay the victories, but we can also speed them up. But the victories will come. Before I finish, I'd like to say just a few words to the youth. There was a special message from the House of Justice to the youth of the world. and I'm sure that you must have all read it. It was published in the Canadian Baha'i News. And of course,